skills before those undoubtedly difficult days were upon them. There had been votes of censure and no confidence and talk of forced retirement on medical grounds. Nothing actually mutinous, of course, but the old bastard had stood his ground. Yet his position had never been weaker than now. His staunchest allies had themselves begun to die out. Titus Hausmann, who Skye could still not quite stop thinking of as his father, had been amongst them. Losing Titus had been a major blow for the captain, who had long relied on the man for tactical advice and soundings regarding the true feelings of the crew. It was almost as if the captain could not adjust to the loss of his confidant, and was perfectly happy to let Skye assume Titus's role. Speedy promotion to head of security had been only part of it. When the captain occasionally called him Titus rather than Skye, he had at first assumed the slip was an innocent mistake, but on reflection it signified something much more problematic. The captain, as they said, was losing his marbles. Events were becoming jumbled in his head, the recent past slipping in and out of clarity. It was no way to run a ship. Something, Skye had resolved, would have to be done about it. "We'll be accompanying him, of course," the first of the aides whispered. The man, Valdivia, looked enough like the other one for him and Rengo to have been brothers. They both had close-cropped white hair and worry lines corrugated into their foreheads. "Impossible," Skye said. "There's only a 2-seat shuttle available." He indicated the nearest craft, parked on its transport pallet. Other, larger ships were parked around the 2-seater, but all had components missing or access panels folded open. It was part of the general deterioration of services. Throughout the ship, things that had been meant to last the mission were failing prematurely. The problem would not have been so severe if parts and expertise could have been swapped between the flotilla vessels, but that was unthinkable in the current diplomatic climate. "How long would it take to patch together one of those larger ones?" Valdivia said. "Half a day at the earliest," Skye said. Balcazar must have heard part of that, because he murmured, "There won't be any damn delay, Hausmann." "You see?" Rengo sprang forward. "Then, Captain, may I?" It was a ritual they had gone through many times before. With a long-suffering sigh, Balcazar allowed the medic to undo his side-buttoned tunic, revealing the gleaming expanse of the medical tabard. The machine whirred and wheezed, like a piece of clapped-out air purification equipment. There were dozens of windows set into it, some showing readouts or dials, others pulsing fluid lines. Rengo extended a probe from his handheld device and plugged it into various apertures, nodding or shaking his head slowly as numbers and graphs flowed across the device's screen. "Something amiss?" Skye said. "As soon as he gets back, I want him down in medical for a complete overhaul," Rengo said. "Pulse is a bit on the thready side," Valdivia said. "It'll hold. I'll up his relaxant." Rengo pushed controls on his handset. "He'll be a bit drowsy on the way over, Skye. Just don't let the bastards on the other ship get him worked up, all right? Bring him back here on medical grounds if there's any sign of tension." "I'll be sure to." Skye helped the already dozy captain towards the 2-seat shuttle. It was a lie that the larger ships were not ready, of course. But of those present, only Skye had the technical knowledge to catch himself out. Departure was uneventful. They cleared the access tunnel, unlatched and curved away from the Santiago, stabs of thrust pushing the shuttle towards their destination, the Palestine. The captain sat before him, his reflection in the cockpit window resembling